The following message was recorded at Geneva Presbyterian Church in Canton, Michigan, on Sunday, May 23, 2010, at the 9 o'clock service. The scripture lesson was Acts 2, verses 1 through 9 and 12 through 21. The sermon was delivered by Pastor Beth Delaney, and the title of the message was, It Keeps Going and Going and Going.
So how many people own a cell phone? Okay, there's a few hands that didn't go up. But for the most part, these days it seems like everyone owns a cell phone. And my own cell phone is fairly outdated by today's standards. It doesn't have a keyboard or a handy touch screen. It doesn't have apps that allow me to keep track of my children as I see on TV, or to even calculate my mileage or other things like that. But it does allow me to communicate either by talking with someone or texting them. And my texting skills are fairly remedial. I try to stick to yes and no and easy questions or K, just the letter K. But it does come in handy sometimes when I can't have a live conversation. If you ask most young people, especially under what, the age of 20 or 25, they are very comfortable with texting and using abbreviations to communicate what they want to say. For those of us whose thumbs can't quite push the correct keys or who don't know the texting lingo, it can be a frustrating tool. An online Christian humor website called The Ship of Fools held a biblical text messaging contest for rewriting the Lord's Prayer for the mobile phone using 160 characters or less. And many people entered. And Matthew Campbell of York, England, won with this text message version of the Lord's Prayer. I'll leave it there for a minute just in case you want to see what it says. And I'm not going to read it. Some of you might take one look at it and easily decipher it. Others may struggle through and be able to piece together some meaning, while still others might not be able to figure it out, seeing it as a foreign language. All right, we better put up the next screen, because they'll still be here an hour from now. But I pointed that out not to have us join the texting bandwagon, but to show that even when we seem to have a similar group, we may speak different languages, maybe not unlike that first Pentecost. Pentecost has its root in the Jewish festival of Shavuot, a harvest festival occurring 50 days after Passover, which commemorated the giving of the Ten Commandments. It was one of three pilgrimage feasts that were entire households of Israel would travel to Jerusalem to celebrate the festival. So it would have been expected then to have many people present there in Jerusalem from many different territories and areas, many countries, people of different ethnic backgrounds who would have spoken different languages. So as we read the story of Pentecost from Acts chapter 2, listen now to God's word to you. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one of them heard speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our own native language?" Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, What does this mean? Some, however, made fun of them and said, they have had too much wine. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I am saying. These men are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. We give thanks to the hearing and understanding of God's word. On the first Pentecost, the Holy Spirit showed up in force. Despite the multitude of languages and different ethnic origins present, the Holy Spirit drew those gathered together and allowed them to hear in their own native language the gospel message. The Holy Spirit fostered a common understanding of that gospel message between those gathered. The Holy Spirit brought unity in Christ's name. The sound like the violent wind and the appearance of flames was the inbreaking of the divine spirit. The church was then birthed in being, spread and grew by the Holy Spirit's empowering and enabling of the message through the apostles. And the church exponentially grew as a result. And we are told a little later in the chapter that 3,000 came to be baptized. And how important was it that the people present were able to hear in their own tongue, in a language that they were familiar with, and there would be no confusion about what was being said? We know the importance of that this day. It's why some Christian groups are committed to translating the Bible and printing it in as many languages as they can, so people will be able to read it in their own native tongue. Even politicians and presidents understand the power of hearing words spoken in one's own language. John F. Kennedy, while visiting Berlin in the early 60s, gave a speech made famous by one line, Ich bin ein Berliner. I am a Berliner. That one line did much to boost the morale of West Germans and especially those living in the divided Berlin. But it also points to the necessity of using a competent translator. When President Jimmy Carter made a state visit to Poland, he began a speech by trying to say, I have great love for the Polish people. Instead, relying on a translator who didn't know Polish very well, instead he said, I have lustful desire in my heart for the Polish people. Thankfully, the Polish people took the mistake in good humor, but it could have been a national disaster. It is so important a role that translators play in communication, especially when it crosses language boundaries. And the Holy Spirit became the divine translator on that Pentecost day, when people of different backgrounds heard perfectly the message of Jesus Christ. And they came together because of the movement of that Spirit. We tend to think that the multicultural church movement is a recent phenomenon, but the truth is the church was multicultural at its inception. There can be diversity in unity, and unity in diversity. It is learning to live and embrace both the unity and the diversity. Interesting, isn't it? In the story of the Tower of Babel found in the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy, you had the people of the earth who spoke only one language, and they worked together to build a city with a tower that reached to the heavens. They at least initially are successful in their endeavor, but the Lord God looks down upon the city and the towers that the mortals have built and says, "This is only the beginning of what they will do." So the Lord confuses the people's language so they can no longer understand each other, and he scatters the people. Now there is one crucial point of the story. God didn't confuse the language and scatter the people simply because they were able to work together in unity, but rather because of their reason for building in the first place. We are told that they wished to make a name for themselves, to boast and pat themselves on their own backs of the great work that they were able to do. They wanted glory and honor. Glory and honor due the Creator, not the created. So in the early goings of mortals, they were united in their arrogance and pride, and what God did do, God confuses their speech so they can't understand each other and splits them up. And now we fast forward to the time of Pentecost when God-fearing Jews are gathered in Jerusalem. By language, the Holy Spirit brings them together in unity. At the Tower of Babel, we had humans trying to attain heaven by their own hand. And now, at Pentecost, heaven comes down to them. The key to both is knowing who is in control. And we need to be continually reminded of whose power and grace and mercy it is and where it comes from. Isn't it true that so often we go about our lives, often consciously or maybe unconsciously, trying to take control of the power by building towers for ourselves, for our communities, our nations, and even for our churches, one brick at a time? It is easy to point the finger at towers of greed and excess in corporations and businesses when we aren't benefiting. But when we are profiting, the line between the two blurs. It is easy to point the finger at the tower of oppression when we see the effects, but not so easy when it is we who are doing the oppressing. It is easy to see the tower of success grow taller when it is someone else, but not so easy to see when we are the ones getting the high fives. It is easy to point the finger at the tower of religiosity when it is another church, but not so easy to see it within the confines of our own walls. I was so reminded of whose power it is last Sunday when I preached on the ascension of Christ with the promise of the power of the coming of the Holy Spirit. At the Filipino Fellowship, we don't have an installed projector or a screen, but once in a while, I still use PowerPoint. And one of the members brings a portable projector, and I bring my laptop, and we project the images not on a screen, but on the wall. And the wall of the chapel happens to be blue, so sometimes you get strange casts to certain images, especially faces. But it works, and it enhances the worship. Well, most of the time. And last week, there was a song that I was thinking about using, about surrender and doing things in God's time. And I spent a lot of time working on it. And rather than just playing the song, I put together this video using images that went with the words and the theme. I worked on it longer than I probably should have, and I spent at least 3, 4, 5 hours on it. When I was done, I was quite pleased with myself at how it turned out. In retrospect, I realize I was patting myself on the back for the job well done. So it came to Sunday morning, and I got to church and was setting up the projector and the laptop and began to boot it up. And I went off and worked on something else or talked with someone. And I came back, and the laptop was stuck in the boot-up sequence. So I tried again and again and again. And I can't tell you how many times I tried to boot up my laptop. I tried changing the values in the startup process when finally it became apparent that the machine wasn't going to boot. I was frustrated and panicky as the video was part of my message. I finally had to give up the thought of using the laptop and the video. And there, when I gave up that idea, that instance, God allowed me to see how foolish I had been. That I wasn't focused on the Spirit moving, which allowed me to put together and then possibly present this video. Rather, I was more worried about not having it as a part of my message. It doesn't matter who you are or what you do. We need to be reminded of who really has the power. The Holy Spirit comes to unify us in Christ Jesus, to blow over us and in us and remind us corporately and individually, to give us a way in this world we transverse, to grace us with gifts that are meant to build up the body, like our sacred dance team. The body of Christ is to transform our living, to pour itself out on the whole of our lives. When we are at the baptismal font, when we struggle, when we stray, and when we are in comfort and reach the end of our earthly road. It is the fire of the Holy Spirit that moves among us in worship and in our prayers, empowering us to be the people of God. It is the Holy Spirit that prompts divine renewal of the church and leads us to a recommitted living of our faith. Phyllis Tickle writes in her book, The Great Emergence, about what she terms a regular garage sale. And she thinks or theorizes that the church has one of these garage sales every 500 years or so. It is a divinely inspired refocusing of our hearts and minds, a time of great renewal. And Tickle and others see that possibly we might be experiencing one of these garage sales in the present. It is a time of reexamination, of seeing, hearing, understanding the good news afresh in our own day. It is a time of recentering and refocusing our hearts and minds. It is a movement of the Spirit who directs reform and reshaping of the way we see our faith lived out. It is the same Spirit that hovered over the waters of creation, who inspired the writers of Scripture, who spoke through the prophets of old, whose coming was promised by Jesus, who came and is still here as the one who stands beside us as our counselor, by your side, by my side, by our sides, always. Who sometimes works in big ways, like on the day of Pentecost, in the sound of a violent wind or the appearance of tongues of flames, but who most often works in small ways, calling us to lay aside the building of our towers, calling us to turn around when we are heading in the wrong direction, calling us to love. There is a poem, a prayer really, from the book entitled Gorillas of Grace, and it's not the monkey kind of gorilla. The subtitle is Prayers for the Battle by Ted Loader. And the poem entitled Touch Me with the Truth That Burns Like Fire speaks of our being open to the Spirit of God. And it is a poem for Pentecost. Listen now as I read it. Lord, send the gift of your Spirit to fill this place and myself and the world. Touch me with truth that burns like fire, with beauty that moves me like the wind. And set me free, Lord, free to try new ways of living, free to forgive myself and others, free to love and laugh and sing, free to lay aside my burden of security, free to join the battle for justice and peace, free to see and listen and wonder again at the gracious mystery of things and persons, free to be, to give, to receive, to rejoice as a child of your spirit. And Lord, teach me how to dance, to turn around and come down where I want to be, in the arms of your people and in you, that I may praise and enjoy you forever. May the Spirit continue to be poured out upon us. May the Lord send that Spirit, that fire that burns within each of us, that fire that He placed, that spark, that divine spark. May it be poured out so that our sons and daughters will prophesy, our young men will see visions, and our old men will dream dreams, and that we might be led by the Spirit into greater life through Jesus Christ. Amen. And amen.
We hope that you enjoyed this message. If you have questions or would like to know more about Geneva Presbyterian Church, please visit our website at genevachurch.org or call the church office at 734-459-0013.